Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I'm using the word we're specifically because I've asked Steve to come on to the show with me today, because Steve is a member of Lifestyles Unlimited also, and we're going to team up and we're going to help you understand that there's a different path for you in the world. There's a completely different path than the path that you're following. This path will get you to financial freedom much quicker than what you're doing now. Oh, and by the way, everything we're talking about, it's all legal. It's all legal. So back in 2004, Steve was a younger man, and at that time, he had been working in the high-tech industry. Now, let me just kind of paint the picture for you. 7 different jobs in 13 years. You heard me correctly. 7 different jobs in 13 years. That's a lot of turnover. That's a lot of instability in your life when the jobs are changing on you. Now, Steve will tell you he didn't do anything wrong. And here's the point. When Steve decided that his path forward was to do everything that he had been told in life, go to school, get good grades, get into the work industry, go get a college degree, get a better job, compete, change jobs. And, you know, at a certain point, you get to a place in your life where you go, you know, I'm married, I've got a baby at home, I've bought a house. I mean, I'm trying to do all the things that an American is supposed to do to be successful. And I'll tell you, the volatility and the dependency on the job, it is bad. Now, one of the things that Steve did back in 2004 was he listened to the radio. And the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the one you're listening to right now, has been around for a very long time. And Steve heard that show. And one of the things that he heard was a statement from the host saying, "Free yourself from corporate America by establishing passive streams of income through real estate investing." And Steve, man, he took note. So let's do this. Let's bring Steve onto the show right now, because I want you to get to know Steve. I think what you're going to find out is that you might have some things in common with Steve, or if you don't, that's okay. Let's learn from Steve's experiences, because when you have the lessons about what works and what doesn't work, you can apply them to your life right now. So Steve, welcome to the show. Are you ready to get into this with me?
Yeah, thank you, Al. Thank you so much for having me on.
Man, it's so good to have you on the show. And I'll tell you, man, I'm sitting here thinking about just how stressful it must have been for you changing jobs literally every 2 years. Now, I was in the military, and you know, we have a tendency to change jobs like every 3 years, but that's the job, it's not the employer. You're like changing everything quickly. What is that like? I mean, how did you get into that?
Yeah, I worked in the high tech industry. You know, my degree is in electrical and computer engineering. Every job I had was high tech, and I tended to work for smaller companies because that's what I wanted to do. And it was, they were up, they were down, they were, you know, sometimes I had to leave because the opportunity was just stagnant. It was either leave or stagnate. And other times the company was just going downhill, and I left, you know, to protect myself. And in one case, I literally went to work on Friday, and the boss said, you know, you should probably take your personal things home with you today, because on Monday we won't be able to get into the building because the company that owns our company hasn't paid the rent.
Oh, man.
And honestly, I was okay with that as a young man. But once I had, you know, a wife, a baby, a mortgage, car payments, and that stuff, I could not cope with the instability. And that's why I was so receptive to the Lifestyles message of getting me out of that kind of a situation and into something that I could control, own my own business. own my own future, owning my own income.
So let me take you back to those jobs. So what was the average time in between jobs?
Well, and there I was fortunate. I was in a field called embedded systems development, and you probably have never heard of it.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, so I basically write software, but it's a kind of software. There's a high demand for the skill, and when I needed a new job, I had one within 2 weeks. So, okay. Yeah, but unfortunately, the last one where the company went out of business, that I was out of work for 2 months. And for the Ouch. First time in my life, I filed for unemployment because I heard that was what you were supposed to do. And that was weird. But it was also really humiliating. I don't ever want to have to do that again. I don't want to ever be that insecure again, or at least I tried not to be. But yeah, that's what encouraged me to change.
So in 2004, you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. You go through the educational program, and ironically, the educational program you went through in 2004 is the same one that I went through in 2017. I think that's pretty cool that the methodology is still the same, regardless of when we got the education. What was the first thing that you did after you educated yourself and you said, okay, let's get working on fixing my future?
Well, I mean, at Lifestyles, you go to the case study, and then you go to the 2-day, and then if you're able or willing, you sign up for the preferred membership. And I did. I did all that stuff. Just boom, boom, boom. But in just that little bit of an education, I got the basic plan. The 2-day lays out the basic plan for how you can use real estate to change your life financially. But because I was in the preferred group, I had access to consultants. I had access to Dell. He was the mentor at that time. And so I sat down with Dell and we made the plan that was going to free me.
See, I think that's the beauty right there, Steve. You're doing everything absolutely correct. So when we come back from the break, we're going to break it down for you. We're going to talk about what it is he just told you that he did absolutely correct. Yeah, this is good stuff. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so in 2004, Lifestyles Unlimited was a smaller organization than it is today. I mean, that's a material fact. There were I don't know how many members we had. I know we didn't have 50,000 members back in 2004, but we had a lot of members. And Steve was one of those guys that came on board as a member to change his life. Now, before we went to the break, I said we were going to break down what it was that Steve did correctly. So, Steve, you mentioned that you got the education. You sat down with your mentor and you built a plan. Why did you do that before going out and buying real estate?
You've been in the military. You heard about prior planning prevents poor performance.
Yeah, there's an extra P in there, but I don't know if we can say that.
Yeah, I left that one out.
We'll leave that one out. I appreciate that. You got my back.
My dad was in the Navy, so he brought me a lot of that stuff. And so I wanted a plan. And also, I'm an engineer. You know, what do we do before we write software? We create a software diagram, a flow chart, something to help you that when you do start to do the work, you're doing it correctly. You're doing it with structure. You're doing it the right way the first time instead of messing it up over and over again until you finally accidentally stumble across the right way to do it.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
And I don't want to go mess things up, you know, especially when you're investing your life savings. I would like to do that right the first time. So let me jump in here, Steve,
because, you know, I think it's really cool that Del Walmsley, the founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited, back in 2004 was the primary mentor, and you had that opportunity to sit down with him. This is what I would love to hear from you, Steve. Exactly what did you and Del talk about?
Well, we talked about my resources available to me, both the money, the time, my personal aspirations, you know, what I wanted to do. And what we decided was, as far as the time, I didn't have much. I was working a full-time job and had a family, but I had enough money. I had more money than it took to invest in rent houses, but not enough to go out and buy my own apartment complex. And so he said, well, you should probably just get into somebody else's deal, use that deal to increase your capital, and then go out and buy your own apartment complex. And so that's what I did.
Wow. And how long did you spend with Del putting this plan together?
It really didn't take long.
Okay. All right.
Even though it was way back then, you know, Del had been doing it long enough. You know, after a while, you don't need a lot of information about a person to figure out what direction they should probably be going if they want to follow the Lifestyles, you know, business models, the various ones that are available. So he was like, okay, you fit into this group. Let's go. Here's what you need to do.
Man, isn't it nice to have a mentor at your side who asks you the right questions and then kind of lays out for you, okay, here are your options, dude. Man, that saved you probably a lot of time, a lot of trouble, and a lot of stress.
Well, and think about it. Like when you were young, if you had an older sibling, wasn't it great when they told you what teachers to take in school? Or if you want to take your car to get it worked on, you'll ask all your friends who's the best mechanic.
Yep.
You know, and that's what Lifestyles does, is it gives you the inside track, the information that you need so that you don't go to the wrong mechanic, so you don't take the wrong teacher, so you don't take all the wrong turns. And so, yes, that's what meant more than anything to me in Lifestyles, because I had never done real estate investing ever.
Yeah. I was going you bought a house, right?
Completely new field of endeavor, yeah.
And so I mean, you I bought a house to live in, but that's different, right?
Yeah. It is different, yes.
So Del said, you should go get into a deal. So what did you do? How did you get that done?
Well, because, you know, Lifestyles, in addition to the education that they offer people, it's also a networking opportunity. You get to meet people in person, online, through the classes, through road trips, through all the social events. And I just, and here I'm an engineer. I'm, you know, socially deficient. I'm shy. I'm introverted. I don't know how to talk to people. And I can now, partly because I've learned this through Lifestyles, is how to talk to people like you on the radio. And I talked to people. And I found out there was this guy named Emery Jacob, a super smart guy, used to work for Arthur Anderson, was a CPA. And he came into Lifestyles to retool his career because it all went kafluki when Enron went down. And Emery had brought all kinds of new concepts and ideas to Lifestyles that everybody was excited about at the time. He had already done his first deal and it was successful. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to get Emery's second deal. Why not? Right. And he took me, and it was amazing that here I am, the shy, introverted, socially awkward engineer. And Emery is like the ultimate business machine. It was amazing seeing what he did and that he was willing to talk to me and tour me around his property and show me how he did things. And I'm like, how would I ever get access to a guy like this?
Yeah, I'm thinking, what did it cost you? How much did you have to pay him to get all that information from him?
Nothing. We were members in the same club. And that's the cool thing about Lifestyles, is that we help each other. So even if I had never gotten into Emery's deal, and I know this because Emery helped other people who never invested with him. We help each other. I help other people now that I know a thing or two about real estate investing. I reach out and I help folks who are trying to find their first deal or trying to, you know, take their first step. That's what we do in this club. And that's just another cool part of the networking aspect of Lifestyles.
You know, it's what's really amazing is everything that you just said exists today. I mean, in my world, everything you just said absolutely exists. So the culture is still there. The messaging is still there. And the roadmap, man, that roadmap, it's still there. So let's get into your roadmap, Steve. You got into that deal with Emory. What happened next?
It was initially it was a good deal. We got in at a good price, and then the whole we had a financial crisis. This is one of the financial crises that we've had in recent history. And we had already refinanced the deal. We had already gotten all of our money back. Listen to that. We already got all of our money back, and then the crisis hit. And it really just dogged the heels of that deal for years after that. We didn't get a lot of money just because it was over leveraged. This is back when people were getting 90% loans on their deals.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so Emory, God bless him, he did what it took to keep that deal afloat long enough that we were finally able to sell it for a profit years later. So thank you for that.
Let me talk about that for a minute, because I mean, we don't control market cycles. I mean, you, Steve, I, Al, we don't control market cycles. Market cycles occur when they occur. But what I think is so beautiful is that you didn't have anything invested in that deal. All of your money had come back out. So there's $0 at risk. The market changes. You still maintain the asset, even though it's not throwing off any money, you still maintain the asset. You ride the asset through the market change and wait for the market to change again, and boom, profitability. We come back from the break, we're going to talk about divorce.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments too. We'll show you how. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so we're getting into it with Steve. I mean, Steve's been a member of Lifestyles Unlimited for 17 years. I really think, Steve, do you know where all the dead bodies are buried? Or do you have that kind of institutional knowledge?
You know, it's fun talking to members who have been around for a long time and talking about, you know, the people we don't see anymore. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, there are people that join Lifestyles, and we have an ethics clause in our organization, and we expect everybody, especially in the multifamily investing part of Lifestyles, the preferred investor group. I mean, that ethics clause is in there. And if somebody violates it, we're going to call them on the carpet. If it was a mistake, not a problem. Let's just get it fixed. But if you intentionally did that, we're going to ask why. And if it's not a good answer, well, at the end of the day, we might help you leave Lifestyles. And you've seen people in Lifestyles who've been shown the door, have you not?
Yes. Yes, I have. And I've seen what Lifestyles was like before there was that code of conduct. And it was like the Wild West. There were plenty of opportunities. There were plenty of good people, but there was more risk then than there is today, given the code of conduct, the white paper, the classes, the certifications. It's a far more polished club than it was back then. Yeah. The fundamental rules are the same.
The business elements are improved, right?
The business elements are far improved. And okay. That goes back to Emory, who, like I said, he joined Lifestyles as a CPA. And he right away was like, you know, everybody should be doing their accounting a certain way. And Dell agreed. And there's just a few other things that made sense that everybody should be doing. And so that they went ahead and just said, look, you can either do it this way or you can go somewhere else and do it however you want.
Yeah.
And that's a fair deal, right?
I think so.
And all it did was make the deal stronger. It protected the investors, and it just made sure that everybody was on the same page.
You're a lead investor yourself, right? I mean, you syndicate deals to other members, right?
Yes.
If I wrote you a check for $100,000, what would you do with that money?
Well, hopefully you're doing that because I have a deal under contract and you've signed a subscription agreement of PPM and are an investor in my deal. And that check comes at closing to actually fund the deal. But yeah, I'm not asking people for money up front. But that used to happen. People used to ask for deposits to get into deals.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then sometimes those deposits were not, you know, spent wisely. But now, no deposits. You're either buying to get into a deal or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I got into your next deal and I gave you $100,000, what are you going to do with that money?
It would go into the business account until closing, and it would be spent on buying the deal.
And what about me? What do I get out of it?
You get your pro rata share of ownership in the business, as stated in the operating agreement.
Well, when do you give me my money back?
Well, in the private placement memorandum, there'll be a business plan and some projections as far as when I think people are going to get paid and how much. And I'll make my best guess, and that's all it really is just guessing. But there are no guarantees in this world, but I will do my best.
Okay.
It's all laid out there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of being a little silly with you, Steve, but what I'm trying to point out is that there is a very well-orchestrated system to where we follow all SEC laws. We do everything we're supposed to do in accordance with the law because we don't want to run afoul of the law. And we want to make sure that we're doing everything absolutely correct. I mean, when I write you a check for $100,000, I know you're going to safeguard that money. I also know you're going to do everything that you said you're going to do in that PPM to position that asset based on the projections you're trying to achieve. And because I know you've got success doing all this stuff, I think you've got a pretty high success rate of achieving what you said you're going to do. Because my experience with Lifestyles Unlimited deals as a passive investor is that the majority of the leads overperform. And that's just the way it is. I mean, you're kind of conservative going into the deal, but then once you get into the deal, the fact that you guys as lead investors, and this is what I love about you guys as leads, you guys are just dialed in how to correct any and all management issues, which immediately improves your bottom line. And then you're also dialed into what you need to do to reposition that asset in the marketplace so that those units compete for better pricing. And man, it's like magic what you guys do, but it's not magic, is it?
Well, and no, I mean, we're not buying properties just because they're pretty or because they're in the Heights or whatever. You know, we're buying properties where when we look at the financials and we look at the market and we do our comps and we talk to our experts, we have a reasonable expectation of getting a return. And then we put all that data into, the private placement memorandum that goes out to our prospective investors. And then they decide, does this sound like it makes sense or not? Should I invest my money or not? And it's your choice. You could pay and stay or go find a better deal.
Yeah. I mean, cause at the end of the day, as a lead, what you're doing is you're looking for an asset that's going to meet your goals and objectives. And then you're going to make that asset available to me as a passive investor. And what I've got to do is I got to dial in and say, okay, are Steve's goals and objectives on this deal, do they meet my goals and objectives? And if those things are out of balance, I just got to say, hey, Steve, man, I can't be in your deal. Nothing about your deal is bad. It's just you're going in that direction. I need to go in this direction. And how do you feel about that if I say that?
I'm okay with that. I don't want somebody in my deal who doesn't want to be in it or who doesn't understand what they're signing on to. And that's one of the cool things about Lifestyles. As a syndicator myself, I have a pool of investors that I draw from who are educated. They ask good questions. I'm always happy to talk to my investors because they ask good questions.
Yeah.
And also as an educated investor in one of these deals, you know, you've gone through all the lifestyles classes. You have your passive certification. You could even take the LEED certification if you want. And that only makes you wiser when it comes time to sign on to one of these deals, that you're better able to sign on to one that meets your personal objectives and that makes sense. You can follow the reasoning behind LEED's argument as to why this is a good deal and you should invest.
Well, you got busy as a LEED. I mean, you kind of partnered with Ira and did some deals with him, and you built up a pretty big portfolio. But then something happened in your personal life.
Yeah, I should correct. I invested in one deal with Emory, and then I invested in four deals with Ira. Ira was always the LEED. Now, he and I worked together. We were good friends. And when he started his management company, I worked for his management company. I was the director of operations. But ultimately, Ira was the LEED on those deals.
Okay. All right.
And the first deal that I ever led was Mirabella, and it's still my only child.
Okay.
I'm hunting for my second right now, trying to get pregnant, as they say.
Oh, well, be careful with that, especially in today's environment. Yeah. Are you willing to talk about what happened in your personal life that materially affected you?
Yeah. I'll talk about whatever. I'm not shy.
I know you're not. So the point I'm making is that Steve went through a divorce, and divorce is not a financial planning vehicle. Trust me, it is not. It caused some damage to him. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, let me give you a quick timeline. 2004, Steve makes a decision that affects the rest of his life. He joins Lifestyles Unlimited, and that was an excellent decision. Over time, he had integrated himself into the operations of a management company that was owned by a fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member. And he had also invested in property as a passive investor. Things were going pretty good, weren't they, Steve?
Yeah, things were going great. I mean, Ira and I worked well together. He was paying me a really good salary out of the management company. And aside from that, I was making $100,000 a year in passive income from my various investments. And my wife was still working. So, you know, we had money, just oodles of money. I bought a Tesla for cash. Why not?
Why not? Right? Did you get the X-Wing one or did you get the cheapie?
I got the Model S. I got one for me and one for my wife.
Oh, you bought two.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, Tesla's a great car. I love it.
Okay. I've actually driven one. I was pretty impressed with that direct drive. But anyway, not a car show. It's a real estate show. So let me get back to that.
Yeah, right.
All right. So everything's going great. And then something happens in 2017. What happened?
Yeah. So at some point, Ira and I decided that I should be, you know, buying an apartment complex like I had originally joined Lifestyles to do.
Okay.
Long enough, right? So he cut me loose from the management company, and he promised to be an investor in my first deal, which he did. He put in $100,000, which is great. And then I bought Mirabella Apartments in August of 2017. And by November of 2017, my wife filed for divorce. And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't see that coming. And
okay.
You know, she just said, you know, I'm tired of being married. I want to try living life on my own. I've never done that. And I'm like, okay. And wow. Our daughter was, I think, 17 at the time. So she was, you know, grown up enough to not be, you know, emotionally scarred by the whole thing. So it seemed like fine. And understand that my wife and I have very different worldviews. My family is very kind of conservative, pro-America, pro-military, you know, type. And she just sees the world in a completely different way. And I'm sure that was not fun for her. So anyways, I said, fine, let's get the divorce. The only problem was that when you do have a divorce, you're supposed to split the assets 50-50. Never mind income. The judge doesn't care about income. They only care about asset value. And so my wife is working. She has her income. I'm not working anymore because I left Ira's management company to buy this deal. So really the only income I have is from the management fees from this deal that I'm in. And then the other income that I used to have was from all these income producing assets, $100,000 a year. Well, that got split in half. And so already I'm seeing my financial situation plummet.
Yeah.
Lost my earned income, lost half my passive income. And the divorce took like a year and a half just because it was complicated. And I couldn't make the attorneys understand how unfair it was for me to take that bad of a beating income wise, but that hurts me. And also just the drop in net worth affects my ability to invest in deals in the future, because when you sign on a loan, the lender wants to know what your net worth.
Right.
Well, now my ability to sign on loans is cut in half or less. After the divorce, my net worth was $2 million. Not much you can sign on for $2 million. So now I got to go find a key principal to sign on future loans. Which, you know, that comes out of my ability to earn income in the future. But anyways, that went right over everybody's head. Nobody cared. And I argued for a year and a half and finally gave up and gave her half. Done. But so, yeah, I bought Mirabella. And then within a few months, the divorce. And then COVID hit. And then, and this is tragic, my friend Ira died.
Yeah, I remember when he passed
August.
Away.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, I was in Lifestyles, but really Ira was my mentor at that point. You know, we were friends. We talked on the phone, you know, almost every day. I helped him with his deal. Even after I didn't work for him, I still did work for him.
Okay.
Because, and he would do stuff for me, you know, give me advice and introduce me to people. And it was really awesome. And then he's gone. And my property, Mirabella, is not doing well, not meeting the expectations that I had for it. When I first bought it, it was supposed to be 86% occupied. It was 72% occupied. And that's how I spent the first summer owning the deal, was trying to get occupancy back up. And then the next year, they tore up my street, reduced it to like a one-way dead-end street with a sign down on North Shepherd that said road closed. So how many leases do you think I got that summer?
Yeah, probably not a lot. I mean, that's
not a lot.
I'm gonna drive down. Yeah. So.
And then the following year, we had my property's kind of in a semi-country area with lots of open fields near it, and the field mice just moved in. Residents who had lived there for years said they'd never seen anything like it, and so we brought in professional pest control. We put down traps and poison. We filled holes in the exterior walls. We filled holes in the interior walls, and we got the problem under control. But it took a few months, and by that time, I'd lost another leasing season. So all this is happening while, you know, a divorce, and I lost Ira, and then COVID hit. And it was just, it was tough. I had met a woman while the divorce was still in process, and my ex-wife, to be, said, it's fine. She didn't care. And so I had this wonderful woman, Kay, who I'm married to now. So this story does have a happy ending. But she was worried about me. She saw how much stress I was in during all of this, these trying times. But I toughed it out. Dell used to tell the story about Johnny Carson, how he would be on The Tonight Show every night, Monday through Friday, and was very entertaining and a wonderful man to watch on television, in spite of the fact that he was going through, I didn't know this, he was going through multiple divorces. He got married, divorced, married, divorced, married,
yeah,
divorced.
Yeah, that was Johnny Carson. Yeah, that's how he rolled, yeah. So.
But every night, Monday through Friday, he showed up for his show, and he was an entertainer. That was his job, and he did it well no matter what. And I chose to pick Johnny Carson as my role model, and I showed up day after day at Mirabella, and I did my job because I had to, for me, for my family, for my future, for my investors, and for my customers, my employees. Everybody's looking up to me to succeed on this deal, and I was going to do everything it took to make it happen.
Did you get it done?
Absolutely.
Good job, dude. Good job. Yeah, because I know the other half of the story. I know that you pulled this plane out of a nosedive, and you didn't hit the ocean. Man. You came close, but you didn't hit the ocean. But you pulled this plane back up, and you got it back on its glide path, and now you're soaring at the altitude you're supposed to be soaring at. Shall we just share with the audience all the things that you've accomplished? Are you willing to do that, Steve? I'll do it for you, man. I got the whole list right here. I'm just looking for a go. I'm looking for a yes.
Yeah, go for it. I'll
all right, let me blow up Steve's ego here, okay? Mm-hmm. So one of the things Steve did during the coronavirus thing was he really focused on his residents. And as a result of that, the news media started picking up on it. And they started coming out and doing stories on the residents. And after that happened, he started getting noticed by magazines. And what are they writing about? They're writing about this apartment community that is really focused on helping the residents that live there. Now, it doesn't stop there. The manager, Rosemary, wins the Zago Property Hero Award. Mirabella gets recognized by the Community of Faith Church for volunteering for their food drive. Then Mirabella wins the Houston Apartment Association Property of the Year Award. I'm not done yet. There's still more here, Steve.
Now
you're back in the media. You're back on TV. You get a congressman, Sheila Jackson Lee. I don't necessarily agree with her, but she came out to your property with the Council General of India, and they came out to recognize you for all the work that you've done helping your residents. Then you're featured in People magazine. Oh, it doesn't stop there, because now you're named as a finalist for two National Apartment Association Awards, one of them being the Small Community of the Year, and the other one being the Community Crisis Response of the Year. And oh, here's the best part, Steve. In March of this year, that property is now back on track in spite of everything that coronavirus has done to you, in spite of what the city has done to you to tear up the street, in spite of all the obstacles and the field mice. You have now sent a cash distribution to your investors who never gave up on you. How's that make you feel, man?
I feel very good about that.
Yeah, and you should. So here's my point, Steve. When you do what you're taught and you stay focused on the prize, you get the results you're looking for. And Steve, you have gotten the results you're looking for. And for those of you out there trying to figure out how to get Steve's results, go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.